Today's Shir Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Yud Ches. We will begin on Daf Yud Ches on an Aleph at the new Perek. Teaches us the Mishnah Kohen Gadol. When we speak about Kohen Gadol, the Rishonim explain, since we spoke previously about the Kohen Gadol, the Mishnah continues to teach us halachas regarding the Kohen Gadol. Don, he could be a dayan in a din Torah, v'danan osei, and he could be a litigant in a din Torah. And as the Chiddush Ran explains, the Mishnah teaches us that not always is that the case for a melech. For example, we're going to learn loy don v'loy danan osei. So the Mishnah wants to teach us that the halacha of a kohen gadol and the halacha of a melech are not the same. The Yerushalmi asks a question that why is it allowed that the Kohen Gadol should be taken to Beis Din, which as we're going to learn represents a lack of kavod, why can't he appoint a natler is a lawyer, so why can't he appoint somebody to represent him and he won't have to personally come to the Beis Din? So the Yerushalmi answers that sometimes in a din Torah, the person in the din Torah has to make a shvua. And obviously that person can make a shvua on my behalf. From here to Rishonim point out, we see that the issue is the making of a shvua. But if that is not the concern, that a shvua is not needed, then indeed those Rishonim say that you would be allowed to appoint a representative to represent you in Beis Din by a din Torah. However, there are Rishonim that say, of course, that is not acceptable. The only reason the Yerushalmi is suggesting that it should be acceptable by a Kohen Gadol is because out of respect to the Kohen Gadol, we don't want to have him have to come to Beis Din. But in other situations, the person has to come himself to Beis Din. It's not acceptable to appoint somebody else in his place. Donai say, Meid, he could say testimony on behalf of other people. Meidin Isai, and people could say testimony regarding him. Chaylitz, if somebody dies without children, the law is that his wife has to have Yibum and Chalitza. So Yibum is not an option, because a Kohen Gadol cannot marry a woman who was previously married, but he can do Chalitza, V'cholzen l'ishtoi, and if he passes away without children, his wife is subject to Chalitza, U'miyabmim es ishtoi, and if he passed away, Chas v'shol, without children, his wife could have Yibum, Avuhu eni miyabim. As we just said, he, the Kohen Gadol himself, can never do Yibum. B'nei shu'osa ba'almona. The halacha is a Kohen Gadol can never marry an almona. And since a Kohen Gadol can't marry an almona, this his brother's wife, by definition, is obviously an almona. Says the Mishnah, meis lo meis. If one of the relatives of the Kohen Gadol passed away, he doesn't follow the coffin because he may come to be tamei, and a Kohen Gadol never may be tamei. Ella, hey, nechnesin, if they're walking down the street, once they're so far down that they're not visible, who niglin, then he could be that walk down that road. Hey, niglin, and if they're on the part of the store or of a road where it's not curved, who nechse, he has to be before the curve. V'yotze imam, and he continues to walk with them at Shar Ha'ir until the gate of the city. Does he go with the Levaya? But he can't leave the city at once to go out to the Beis HaKvaros, to the cemetery. Divrei Rameya. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, any Yotze Migdash, he doesn't leave the Migdash at all. Meshum Shenemar, Omer Migdash Lo Yotze, he has to remain in the base Migdash. And the Rebbe Yonah says that the reason he doesn't go out of the shahr is once out of the city, because in the city you have roads, one row ends, one row begins. It's possible to keep a proper distance. When you leave the city and it's just one big open area, you don't have that opportunity. And because you don't have that opportunity, says the Gemara, the Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol should not just go there where you could end up Chas V'Shalom coming in contact with Tumah. Shemnachem Acherim, if somebody is sitting Shiva and he is going to be Menachem them, and after the Levaya they go by in a Shura, Derech Kola'am Oivim Zechazeb, the right way of way he works with Avelim is that everybody passes by the Avelim and is Menachem them. Here, when the Kohen Gadol goes, Hamamunah, who the Sagan HaKohen, he's the assistant, the vice Kohen, Mematzoi, the Kohen is in the middle, Beinoi Lebein Am, and he's between everybody and the people who, it means the Mamunah is on the right side, and everybody else is on the left side, and the Kohen is in the middle. Ukshumis Nachem Amecherim, if a close relative of the Kohen Gadol passed away, and the Kohen Gadol is receiving Tanchumim, the way he's spoken to is everybody says Anu Kaparoscha, V'aymelahem, and he responds to them, Tzborchu Min Hashemayim, you should be blessed for coming to worry about me. Shemavanai Soi, the first meal after Levaya is a Sudas Havra, and the Sudas Havra is where other people bring the food, and you have to eat bread and wine and something that's round, an egg or lentils. Kushimavanai Soi, Kala Oim Mesum Malarit, everybody who's sitting there sits on the ground, who makes Vel Safsal, and he sits on a chair. That was a Kohen Gadol. Now continues the Mishnah to discuss Hamelech. When we speak about a king, he doesn't sit in the Bezdin as a Dayan, nor is he called to a Din Torah. Loi Meid, anybody who said sees Edus, if he saw Edus about something, he doesn't say that Edus. Loi Meidin Oisai, we don't say Edus about him. Loi Choylitz, if his brother died without children, if his brother died without children, he doesn't go to do chalitza, because chalitza involves that the almana has to spit at him. Of course, that is highly disrespectful to the melech. Lecholtzin lishtoi, and if he passes away without children, chalitza is not done to his wife, because she can't marry anyway. The wife of a king cannot get remarried to another person, so therefore there's no point in her having chalitza, because the point of chalitza is that she should be able to get remarried. She isn't allowed to get remarried anyway. Which this opens up a very important discussion. The Chacham Tzvi discusses that if there's a Yevama that has no intention to marry again, so the Chacham Tzvi says there's no reason to compel her to have chalitza. The Beis Shmuel quotes the Zohar that says there's a mitzvah to have chalitza even if the Yevama has no intention to get remarried. And the Chasam Sofer explains that the Zohar says that the point of chalitza, the Zohar means to say that the point of chalitza is not just a procedure that allows the Yevama to get remarried, but it's good for the neshama of the nifter. And therefore, even if the Yevama has no intention of getting remarried, there is a point to do chalitza. Says the Sefer Or Gadol, that our Mishnah seems, what Rashi just said, seems to support the Chacham Tzvi. Because Rashi said, since the king's almana is not going to get remarried, so there's no need to have chalitza. So if that's the case, we see the whole point of chalitza is in order to get remarried. That the Rishash explains that Rashi could be consistent even with the Zohar. He says, even though the Zohar says that there is a point of doing chalitza, even when the Yevama has no intention to get remarried, that's what the Torah is teaching us, is that the whole parsha of chalitza wasn't said on the Amon of a Kohen Gadol. Another way that the Tiferes Yisrael explains Rashi's opinion that it should be consistent with the Zohar is what Rashi means to say is that even though we ought to allow her to have chalitz, make chav chalitza, which is good for the neshama of the person who paid away, who passed away, but by doing chalitza, there's a concern that we may come to do yibum. And yibum, as we finished saying, is certainly not permissible. So in order to avoid that problem, we, even though we, maybe chalitza ought to be done, it's not done here. So as we said, v'loy mi'avim l'ishtoi. Rav Yehuda Omer, emrotz lachlitz l'yavim, if the melech wants to do chalitza or yibum, zoch l'toif, fine. Amar loy, but the chacham said to Rav Yehuda, ain't shamim loy, that we don't listen to what he says. Chalitza, is the king can never do yibum or chalitza. As we explained, says the Mishnah, ain't noisim almanosoi, we're not allowed, no one is allowed to marry the almana of a king. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, noisa hamelech almanosa shamelech. One king can marry the almana of another king. She came at Sayyid with David, as we find the apostle teaches us by David Amelech, shenosa almanosa shol, that he married the almana of shol. Shenem vetelchos beis adonecha v'snei adonecha b'chekecha. And the Gemara is going to explain how we explain, how the other opinion will explain these psukim. The pasuk in Parshas Yisroi says that Yisro said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Madu ata yoshev levadecha. So the question is that what was the question that Yisro was asking Moshe Rabbeinu? Did Yisro not know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the dayan? So the Sefer Sheres Yaakov answers that we learned earlier that a dentari requires three dayanim. A pshara, one dayan is permissible. Now the halacha is that by a dayan, by a din Torah, we have to have, the two litigants have to stand. A pshara, they don't have to stand. And a mumcha could be a dayan by himself. So Yisrael was asking Moshe Rabbeinu, Matu ata yoshev levadecha. If you're sitting by yourself, you're doing a pshara. If you're doing a pshara, why do they have to stand? To which Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'shafatati, I'm a mumcha, so I'm doing a din Torah, and therefore, even though I'm alone, it's considered din Torah, and therefore the halacha is that they have to stand." But the Sefer Kesedus Yosef explains that the conversation differently. We just learned, our Mishnah says, "Melech loydon." So Yisrael was asking Moshe Rabbeinu as follows. If, when is there a halacha that the litigants have to stand if they're coming to the Torah? If they're just coming to hear and you're divrei Torah, then they could sit. So he says, you're a melech. And if you're a melech, how are you doing it in Torah? It must be that it's just that you're giving a shear. If it's just that you're giving a shear, my question to you then, Yisrael said, is, Lama, why is it necessary for everybody to stand? They could just as well sit, because you're a melech. You're giving a shear. And by a shear, there is no halacha that the people have to be standing. They may be sitting during a shear as well. Says the Gemara, Kohen Gadol don. The Mishnah started by teaching us the halacha that a Kohen Gadol could do a din Torah. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, why would we think that he should not be allowed to do a din Torah? And says the Gemara, don and Isa Yisrochalei. The Mishnah is teaching us that he could be brought to a din Torah. Ask the Gemara, Hanami Pshita, why shouldn't it be? Eli din Inle, if the halacha weren't, asked the Gemara, that he could be the subject of din Torah, Eo hechi dayin, that he can never be a dayin, because the pasuk says his koshu v'koshishu. V'amrish lakish, what the pasuk says is k'shoit atzmecha v'akak k'shoit acherim. You can't be in a position of judging other people if you aren't yourself in the category that you're going to be judged. So if the king is, we're learning, obviously allowed to be a dayan, he certainly could be the subject of a din Torah. Answers the Gemara, indeed, there is no chiddush in that halacha. Just what? Since the Mishnah wants to teach us that unlike the Kohen Gadol, melech loydon v'loydon, and I say that by melech the halacha is different, that's why Taninami, that's why the Mishnah taught us the contrast, Kohen Gadol don, the Kohen Gadol don v'don, and I say. The Maral explains this halacha, k'shoit atzim chavach kach k'shoit acherim, that a person is always closest to himself. If a person is unable to judge himself, and a person is not able to make himself better, then he can't be in the position that he can make other people better. So, of course, that's why it says the Maral, the halacha is k'shoit atzmecha v'achach k'shoit acherim. The Baal Shem explains that what it means is that if what the Gemara is teaching us, if somebody is only able to see problems in other people, but he can't see any fault in himself, then that person can't be a dayan. What the Gemara is teaching us is that if you want to be able to be a dayan, what you have to be able to do is see fault in yourself. If you can't see fault in yourself, then you will never be able to see fault in others. I saw another pshat is that if a person, shait atzmecha, if a person wants to be able to teach other people what to do, the best way of teaching other people how to do is by living by example. Shait atzmecha. If you are worried about yourself, then shait acherim, then you could give musa to others. But if you won't serve as an example for other people, then you can't be somebody that somebody could be a dayan. Vibay seima, another way, ha-kamashma k'ritanya. The Braisa teaches us, kohen gadol sh'arigus nefesh, if Rechman Tzlan, a kohen gadol killed somebody, if he killed somebody b'mezed, deliberately nerig, so it's chayiv misa. If he killed somebody b'shogi g'goyla, v'ayval esse v'loysa say, he's over a mitzvah say and a loysa say, which will be identified, he's considered like a regular individual. So the Gemara analyzes the Braisa. B'mezed nereg, if he killed somebody b'mezed, he's chayv misa. Ask the Gemara pshita. And says the Gemara, b'shogig goylis. The chiddush of the Braisa is that if he killed somebody b'shogig, he goes to golus. So ask the Gemara, hanami pshita. Why? Of course he should go to golus. And says the Gemara, itzrach. There is a chiddush. Sak dat chamina. Because we know that Allah is that if somebody kills somebody b'shogig and he goes to Golus, the Torah says for Yosheba, he remains the admos kohen gadol until the kohen gadol passes away. So we would think, suggest the Gemara, called the isleta kanta b'chazara, anybody who has a way of getting out of Golus legally, he goes into Golus. However, an individual who less takanta b'chazara, that doesn't have a way of getting out of Golus, maybe loy ligli, he should never go into Golus. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Makkos teaches us, ha-hoyre kohen gadol, if somebody Rechman Tzlan killed a kohen gadol, or kohen gadol sh'arigus nefesh, or kohen gadol killed somebody, eini yotze misham lo'olam, he can never leave the Golus, because the way a murderer gets out of Golus is that the kohen gadol was the kohen gadol who was the kohen gadol when he went into Golus passes away. If in a case where there was no kohen gadol at that time, he never goes out because the kohen gadol that's appointed afterwards his death won't help you get out of Golus. Amos. So in this case, if the kohen gadol is the one that killed somebody, maybe he can never get out of Golus. And therefore he should not go into Golus. Kadmash Milan. That the halacha is that he does go to Golus. Ask the Gemara, but maybe indeed, since there's no way for him to get out of Golus, ask the Gemara, the halacha maybe should be that he should not go into Golus. Answers the Gemara, let's read the words of the Pasuk. Amakra, v'hoi lanasham korwe tzeach, afil kain gol meshmak. Kol means every individual is it goes to Golos, even if he doesn't have a way to get out of Golos. The Mishnah said that over the Bryce just said over Alasev Loisasei, and as we said, what does that mean? Ask the Gemara Loisagda Laver, if he didn't aver, of course he's over. What is the Bryce, asked the Gemara, trying to teach us? How come im over Alasev Loisasei, if he violated a mitzvah say, a mitzvah loisasei, the halacha is a rei kehedit l'chol dvarav, he's treated like a regular person, and he gets malchus by a bezdin of three individuals. Ask the Marpshita, why not? Answers the Gemara, Salkadat chamina hoyva tanan, ain donan lois a shevet, an entire shevet, lois novia sheker, lois kain godl, elapi bezdin shel shem rechad, they are always taken to a bezdin of 71. Vamar of Adabar Hava, the pasuk is, how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, kol hadova godl yovei alecha, Dvarav Shagodl, when there's a great individual on trial, it should be brought, that should be brought to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yakal Dabagal Yvelecha, Ledvarav Shagodl, Eima Chol Dvarav Shagodl, every case, even if it doesn't involve a Chiv Misa, Kamash Malan, that only if it's a Chiv Misa does such a person go to the Bezdin Agodl. Otherwise, it doesn't. But maybe indeed what the Torah is teaching us, that all such situations should be brought to the Bezdin HaGadol. Answers the Miksiv, the apostle said, Divrei Gadol, Hadov HaGadol Ksiv. It says, Ladov HaGadol. It has to be a case that involves a great person, and it's a big deal case. That means it's a case of Chiyah Misa. We learned in the Mishnah, Meid or Meidin Asai. Meid. The question is, does the Kohen Gadol come to say Eidus for Tanya? The Braisa says, in the Parsha of Hashava Saveda, where the Torah says, L'chol Salam to Mehem, the Torah says, so we learn from here, sometimes the Torah says, V'Salam to Mehem, you can make like you don't see it, and the Torah says, L'Suchel Salam, you're not allowed to ignore what you saw. How do we reconcile these psukim? The answer is Psalm Atam Salam, Pam Shiatam Salam. Sometimes you could make like you don't see, and sometimes you can make you can't. Okay, so what does that mean? Kain, who? If there's an animal that wandered into a basic forest, into a cemetery, and there's a kain, and a kain is not allowed to go into a cemetery to become tamei, or if the case is a zokven elfei kvoidai, or if the person who should bring the animal to retrieve the animal, it's not out of his honor to do such a thing. The time that he has to spend retrieving this animal or retrieving this lost item, it's not worth his time because he gets paid a lot for his work. And the halacha is that somebody who does the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, and that by doing the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda, he's going to lose a lot of profit, a lot of salary, he has to tell Bezdin, I'm only prepared to do it if I'm going to be reimbursed. L'kach, and sometimes Bezdin says, it's just not worth the expense. L'kach nemar v'salamta. Sometimes the Torah says that it's v'salamta, so it's not to his honor. So the question here is, how can we suggest in our Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol should go say testimony? Isn't this a lack of respect to the Kohen Gadol? Amar Rabbi Yosef, answers Rabbi Yosef, Mei Lamelech. Where is he saying testimony? Indeed, to go say testimony is a lack of respect. But if he's going to say testimony on respect on behalf of the king, so that doesn't represent the something disrespectful, and that's why he could go. And the reason why the Torah says V'salamta, the Torah is teaching us that sometimes that kavod habriyus, that person's honor is greater than anybody else. So we say when he's going to say on behalf of the king, that is showing respect. But so how could it be that he's saying on behalf of the king? Haven't we just learned in our Mishnah regarding the king, leidon v'leidon anosai, leimed v'leimed anosai? So how is there ever a case that he's in court? So the Ran says, as we're going to be learning in our shiurim, what the Gemara could have suggested as an answer is that we're speaking about a situation where it's Malchei Beis David, that the halacha is that Malchei Beis David do go to court. It says the Gemara, different teretz, not limited to Malchei Beis David, Elam Rav Zera, Mei Lebe Melech. He's saying testimony on behalf of the son of the king. Ask the Gemara, Ben Melech, Hegidhu. Ben Melech is a regular individual. So the issue of lack of respect that a Kohen Gadol should have to come say testimony is no different if he's saying it's for Ben Melech. Elo, made b'fnei ha-melech. He's saying testimony when the king is sitting in the Sanhedrin. But ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, va'ei melech, va'ei meshivim melech b'Sanhedrin. The halach is that a melech is not appointed to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Answers the Gemara, what happens here is that we're going back to the situation that he's saying testimony on behalf of the king's son. The question was that we don't say why would that be permissible? That's a lack of respect. Answers the Gemara, if the Kohen Gadol is saying testimony on behalf of the son of the king, says the Gemara, Shem Yikra the Kohen Gadol, out of respect to the Kohen Gadol, also the Yosef, the king participates and sitting there, to accept the testimony from the king, and then then the king gets up and leaves, and after the king gets up and leaves, and then the rest of the Sanhedrin sits there. The question is that why does Gemara have to bring a brisa? Isn't that the Mishnah? So the Ran answers that if we learned the Mishnah, we would think that the Mishnah is speaking only when the king can't be a judge by himself. Maybe he could be part of a Sanhedrin. So here we see that he can't be, under any circumstances, part of a Beis Din. He can't be part of the Beis Din. And therefore the question is, how did it happen? And the Gemara gave the answer, what are the circumstances, how a king could be in a Beis Din. So our Gemara just taught us the halacha of a Salam Tavlehem, that sometimes it's not l'fi kvoidai, it doesn't represent respect to the king, and since it doesn't respect to the person, he doesn't have to do it. Rosh Shlomo Kluger says that this rule of v'eina l'fi kvoidai applies to all mitzvahs in the Torah. And he says it even applies to the halacha of Leisan al Dam Reyecha, that if somebody is in danger, we have to do everything we can to save that person, but not in a case where it's not to the respect of the person that has to do something. The Miches Yitzchak disagrees, because he says that when we speak about Hatzolah on Shabbos, the Rambam in Hilchis Shabbos, Perek Beis Halacha Gimel says, when we do things to save somebody, we don't choose those people to do that salah. It's the Gedol Yisrael that are charged to do whatever has to be done to save somebody on Shabbos. Clearly, suggests the Miches Yitzchak, it's a proof that when it comes to the mitzvah Hatzolah, it comes to the mitzvah like Samar al Dam Reyecha, there is no rule of a Salam to Mehem. And then I saw Rabbi Yoshev had a different way of explaining this. Rabbi Yoshev said that when it comes to what is the way to determine if it's Lafik Foydoy, if it's Ein Lafik Foydoy, how do we make that determination? So Rabbi Yoshev explains, so the Halacha explains, the way that determination is made is quite simple. We look, if somebody, we speak about Hashavas Aveda, returning something that's lost. So if it was something that was mine, would I say, well, it's not respectful for me to have to go try to save it? If I would take that approach, if it was my thing, then we could apply the concept of Ein Lafik Kvoidai. But if it was my own object, I wouldn't take that approach. Then we don't say Ein Lafik Kvoidai. So says Rabbi Yoshev, If somebody's life, Rahman Slan, is in danger, what will the person do? He'll do whatever it takes. He'll do whatever it takes to save his life. So says Rabbi Yoshev, if that's the case, that a person is ready to do anything for himself to save his life, then that should obligate him to do whatever it takes to do something to save someone else's life. And there is no dispensation of Eina Lefi Kvoidai when it comes to Atzolos Nefashos. It's interesting to note that I saw that the Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron Belzer, he says that there's a din in the Torah, a mipsor chal tesalim, that we may not ignore our family. Says Rabbi Yoshev, that too is a mitzvah of that there's no rule of Islam to him. When it comes to relatives, you have to do whatever it takes. The Chidah explains that another klal is that even though we're learning the Salam to Mehem, that sometimes Pamashat to Masalim, but this halacha of Hashavas Aveda also comes to teach us that we have to save a person's neshama. If we have to save a person's physical, do something to save his material or objects, we certainly have to do whatever we can to save his neshama. And the Chidah suggests that even though when we speak about the halacha of Hashavas Aveda, we're learning Zokin and Lefi Kvoidai, when it comes to save a neshama, that doesn't apply. When it comes to save a neshama, then we have to do whatever we can to save that neshama. We don't have an excuse of Eina Lefi Kvoidai. I also saw that that's pshat in the tefillah that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chusano v'al tesalein. We beg to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not lefi kvoidai that you should have to be busy with us, but we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu chusano, have rachmanis, and don't use a excuse that's Eina Lefi Kvoidai, it's not to your honor to have to save us. Rather, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that misnag b'chassidus, that you should go lefnim mishur sadin. What does it mean that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go lefnim mishur sadin? To save us and take care of us and not say it's not lefi kvoidai. Gufa continues the Gemara. Eim eshivim melech b'Sanhedrin. We don't appoint a melech to the Sanhedrin. V'loy melech kohen gadol b'Ibur Shana. Nor do we ask a melech kohen gadol to participate in Ibur Shana. Ask them our melech b'Sanhedrin. How do we know that we have melech in the Sanhedrin? Not the ksiv, l'sana al riv. And the Gemara explains, l'sana al rav means that we can't disagree with the king. So we can't have a member of the Besdin who we can't disagree with. Then we learn further, loy melech v'kohen gadol b'Ibur Shana. Melech m'shem asanya. The king has to pay salaries for the whole year to his soldiers. And if it's going to be a longer year, then the king is going to, it's going to cost them more, and therefore he can't be asked to be put into that, he can't be asked to be a member of that din Torah. Kohen Gadol, what's the reason for Kohen Gadol? Mishum Tzina. We're concerned that the Kohen Gadol is, if Yom Kippur is later in the year, and the Kohen Gadol has to, on Yom Kippur, walk around barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol is not going to want to make the year into an Iber year, into a leap year, that he doesn't want that he should be cold. And points out the Gemara, Amra Papa Shmamina, from here we see, Shat the Basu Yach Azel, that the seasons follow the lunar year, and therefore it's going to be cold on Yom Kippur. Eini, says Gemara, Hanach Shlosh Rabbaka, that have come in Shemini Rabbana the Kamri. There were three shepherds that used to say, Chadama im Bakr, if the seeds were planted earlier, Velokish, and the barley seeds, Kachada Yenetz, barley is planted later. If the wheat and barley are ready at the same time, Kachada Yenetz, if they blossom at the same time, Dein Hu Adar, that's Adar. Rimlav, if the earth hasn't gotten that hot, less than Adar, it's not Adar. Vachad, one of the shepherds said, Im Tar B'Tzfas B'Tlag Yomus, if in the morning it's cold, until the so cold that the animals, the acts are freezing, they're almost dying. And in the afternoon, it's so hot that the animal can't wants to take off its skin from the heat. That's adar. Memlav less than adar. And the third Roy Bucker said, if when there's an easterly wind that brings the cold, when you blow with your mouth, the steam that comes out of your mouth will there'll be a lot of steam coming out of your mouth, deinu adar, v'mlav less than adar. So the Chachamim heard what they said. And based on what they said, they made it into a leap year. So we see that when there's a leap year, then it doesn't change the weather. That means it's only standardizing that everything is according to the proper season, and not that it's going to be a colder Tishrei or a warmer Nisan. And it says the Gemara, Tisbar Rabbana Adrasa Samach. Says the Gemara, let's try to understand this entire episode. Do you really believe that the Chazal made a leap year based on what the shepherd said? El Rabbana Ashmichayim Samach. We've learned and we'll continue learning the various reasons why we make a leap year. And that was the situation here that the Chacham made a leap year because they thought it should be a leap year. And then the Rai Bok is Tayyuhu, the Stai Messiah, what they heard them saying only backed up what they're saying. We learn from this Gemara a tremendous lesson. The lesson that's learned from this Gemara is that the Kohen Gadol was such a great person. And do we really believe that when the Kohen Gadol makes a decision, when the Kohen Gadol needs to make a decision about Yom Kippur, his decision it should be called on Yom Kippur. But we see from here, says the Gemara, that the Kohen Gadol is a human. And subconsciously, a person thinks about what is good for him. And subconsciously, the Kohen Gadol, when he thought, should I make this year into a leap year, even though his motivations are certainly 100% honorable, but subconsciously, he's thinking if it's going to be he's going to be cold, and that will affect his thinking, and therefore he shouldn't be in the Beis Din. Ramey Shapiro became the Rav in a city where the shul in the city did not have heating in the shul. And because there was no heating in the shul, it was very, very complicated to daven in that shul. It was actually very cold. And the question was, this one became the Rav in the city of Petrikov. And he didn't know, should he install a heating system in the shul? Or should he not install a heating system in the shul? Because you're not going to make any physical changes to an existing shul. So he went and he asked the Chartkev Rebbe. And the Chartkev Rebbe told him, I want you to tell me what you think the halacha is. So Ramey Shapiro thought, and then he said, I have a proof from our Gemara. The Gemara says that the Kohen Gadol cannot participate in deciding if it should be a leap year, because he doesn't want it to be cold on Yom Kippur when he's walking around the Azara barefoot. So the question Ramey Shapiro said is that we could have done something different. What we could have just done is put in a heating system. From here we see, said Ramey Shapiro, we're not allowed to make any changes. And therefore, even though the shul in Pietrikov was very cold, we're still not allowed to make any changes to that shul, and said Ramey Shapiro to the Chartkev Rebbe, and we can't install a heating system. Which opens up a question, can somebody pass in a shaila where it applies to him? So there are a number of considerations in the Paiskim, because in our Gemara it seems to say that if you have some, if it affects you, you shouldn't be able to pass in the shaila. However, the Paiskim have two factors to take into consideration. One is if it's chazak asura or lois chazak asura. If something, for example, is identified as not kosher, and now your psak will affect, if you're going to pass, by you passing it's kosher, you'll be able to eat it. So if it's a schazik isura, then you shouldn't be able to, that's the type of situation where you shouldn't paskin for yourself. If it's lois chazik isura, so it wasn't established as not kosher, so it's somewhat different. Another consideration, the paskim say, is if the psak is something that's explicit in a sefer. So when the person who's paskin the shaila, even though it affects the person who's paskin the shaila, but he could show very clearly a source for the basis of his decision, then we could be more lenient. But when it's a situation where the decision that he's making is something that's a chiddush, something that he thought of, but he can't show explicitly in a sefer that what he's saying is correct, and it affects him personally, then again, something that, based on our Gemara, where the Gemara is teaching us that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be part of Ibur Shana because it affects him. The Melech shouldn't be part of Ibur Shana because it affects him. They should avoid of passing that type of a Shiloh.